Good afternoon, I'm Kaki Walton. Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Orpheum Theater. L. Ross Gallery invites you to enter the captivating, surrealistic world of Margaret Munsloss's exhibit Amor Fati that opens tomorrow and will be on view through November the 14th. The gallery hours right now at L. Ross are Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 3 or by appointment. Joining me this afternoon to talk about her paintings, which I can't stop looking at and trying to figure out, is the artist herself from her home in Somerville, joining us by phone, Margaret Munsloss. Margaret, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to live in your head.
I've had other people say that before. I don't know if they really want to.
Well, yeah, the images, we're going to talk about them because they're magical portraits of humans and animals and nature and all of these other things that I'm trying to figure out what is the symbolism of these objects and their placement. And I don't know if I'll ever figure it out, but I'm glad that I'm able to talk to you about it this afternoon. Before we really get into the different pieces and your process and things, tell us about the title of the exhibit and why you chose it.
The title, while I don't have a piece that is actually titled Amor Fati, it's sort of umbrellas over all the pieces. It has to do with coming to terms with being told that I have a terminal illness, a terminal kind of blood cancer, and what it took for me to just live with it and be okay with it. And it sounds simple, I guess, but it really wasn't. It was quite a journey.
That was 2016, is that right?
Yeah.
And you spent about 5 months at Mayo Clinic, I think I read.
I did.
Well, I'm glad that you're on the other side of that, and that you're well, and that your prognosis is good. I mean, are you in remission? Is it completely? Are you cancer free?
No, I'll never be cancer free because it is a terminal kind of cancer. But I'm in remission right now, so I just try not to think about it very much because there's really not much I can do about it.
Yeah, you've got. I've been through cancer myself. I'm cancer free now. But I know what you mean. You have to live every day. You just have to live every day.
Right. And, and you have some days that are not as good as other days, but you do anyway, whether you have cancer or not. So.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's great for you to have art to immerse yourself in.
Oh, I can't even tell you. It's my savior. It is so my savior. I don't know what I would have done if I had come back from there and then just had nothing to express myself in and to lose myself in. I mean, I love losing myself in my work. It's magic and therapy.
Well, I have to, this is what blew me away about your work. I was intrigued enough just seeing the images when I was looking at the L. Ross website last night and then again today. And last night when I first started looking at the pieces, I was intrigued enough, but then I realized you were working with colored pencil and acrylic. And I couldn't believe that I was looking at a piece with painted with colored pencil. I mean, for example, there's a portrait called Her Thin Blue Line, and the photorealism of that piece, I mean, the detail is just, I don't even know if I have words for it. It's incredible.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love working in colored pencil. I did oils for years and years, but then actually, it was another art dealer in Houston who wanted me to do a bunch of drawings for a show I was having there. But I love color so much that I just had to sneak a little in here and there. And it just sort of evolved into this whole thing. And I really love that medium. It takes a lot longer, I think, than doing a painting with oil paints. But there's something that's so meditative about it. And then I also don't have to worry about old fumes.
Oh, right. So, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And they are mostly pencil, colored pencil. The acrylic I usually use underneath as just a thin layer to sort of lay things out where they'll be. And then 90% of it is layers and layers and layers of colored pencil.
So I was wondering, you're from California originally, right? And then when did you relocate to Tennessee?
I relocated here about 22 years ago. I had in Los Angeles, I had a mural company, and we did a lot of murals for casinos and films, and but there were so many casino things going up here in Tunica. I did several of those, and while I was there, I met my future husband.
Ah.
So that's here.
And so he was from Tennessee?
Uh-huh. Well, not originally. He lived here, and his company was here, but he was originally from Pennsylvania.
Ah. So how did relocating to the South impact your art?
Oh, tremendously. I grew up with a lot of camping trips and studying animals, and so I was used to the outdoors, and I always loved nature, but I didn't live in it. And so we have here a couple of hundred acres that we live on, and it's pretty, it's wooded, and there are lots of creatures here. And so there was just so much for me to work with. It impacted it tremendously. Also, the fact that I didn't know anybody, and I spent so much time alone. There weren't a lot of distractions.
So it gave you plenty of time to concentrate. I was wondering if any of the women that you feature in your work with these portraits, like her Thin Blue Line, and there's another gorgeous portrait called Belong, I wondered if those are friends that you've made since you moved to Somerville, or if they're people you just happened upon and said, I'm fascinated by your face, I want to paint you.
Well, I have done that before. The Thin Blue Line is actually somebody that I know. She's a client, and that's her portrait. I use my daughter a lot in pieces that I do. She's easy to work with. She's beautiful. I'm looking at her right now, and she's rolling her eyes. And she's inexpensive. So, yeah. And a lot of the people that I use other than that are just people that I don't know in conglomerations of different pictures.
So is that your process? You start with a photograph?
Pretty much. But I
And then you just, that's your jumping off point. And then you just add to that from there and embellish from there and bring in all of these creatures and nature and flowers. I'm looking at my mammy myself right now too. That's the first painting that I saw.
Well, there's a big story behind that one, but let me digress quickly.
Okay.
I use a photograph as a reference, but I don't start with the photograph. I start with the idea, and then I usually go out and try and get the photograph that I want, but it always starts with an idea, not a photograph.
Gotcha. Okay. What's the story? What's the story behind My Mammy Myself?
My Mammy Myself it has to do with the voice in the back of my mind that got me through living at the Mayo, mm-hmm. and going through, you know, all of the stem cell transplant and all the stuff and the fear and being really lonely and scared. And she always is there. I mean, I've had her for more years than I can count. I don't know why she is who she is, but that's okay because she's always right. And she just walks me through everything and comforts me. And so she is an outside person because I don't know who she is except she's part of my inner self. And the little fox that she's holding is me.
Oh. Well, her presence is so serene and her eyes are closed and you just feel a serenity and a comfort from looking at this painting.
Oh, I'm so glad. Then I feel like I was successful with my idea. Good.
Yeah, it really did. It just washed over me and gave me a sense of peace and calm.
Good. That makes me happy.
So, I'm glad that you are that you're in Somerville and you're surrounded by all of this nature that shows up in your work. Do you find yourself taking walks in the woods and things like that to inspire you?
Sometimes. Yeah, I don't have to go very far. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in my backyard. It's everywhere. But yeah, sometimes. And just everything that goes on here. I mean, I have really close relationships with the raccoons that live here, and you know, it's like we're definitely part of what goes on in nature here.
So,
and I love it that way.
Oh, well, this is a wonderful time of year to be able to, as the leaves are falling and as we're getting into cooler weather, that you've got woods to walk in or walk by and sort of soak up nature, because fall is such a wonderful season for that. You know, there are portraits like Her Thin Blue Line and Belong, and then there is a piece like Still Here, Still There, which it takes a little turn, and I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but it's a little frightening. But I'm wondering, now that you told me about your time at the Mayo Clinic, does this say something about when you were going through your cancer treatment at Mayo? Because it reminds me of one of those plastic models you see of what the inside of a human body looks like.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Ah.
It isn't really about my experience there. It's about something that happened to me before I got the cancer, or before I knew I had the cancer, which was probably quite a while. I knew there was something wrong, but I didn't know what it was. But anyway, actually, it's about a very, very painful betrayal. And that's just how I expressed it.
Right.
Because the people that were involved were people that were very involved in my life, including a family member. And so it's always still here and still there.
Well, you put it down on a board. I wanted to talk about that for a second, too. And so I hope somebody buys it so that you can make some money off of that experience, you know? That would kind of be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice. It would be nice. I don't suffer from that experience.
Well, good. But,
you know, occasionally I think about it.
Yeah. Artists are so lucky. I mean, I just think being able to... I know performing artists can pour out their inner feelings when they are on stage or doing a role in a play or singing in a concert, but to be able to actually take paintbrushes or colored pencils and to put images on a canvas or on a board, in your case, and the cathartic experience and healing experience that can be, is something I think people who aren't visual artists are probably a little jealous of.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't know any other way to be, because I've always done this. So I can imagine it would be really frustrating.
Well, I was impressed to hear that you're completely self-taught.
Uh-huh.
When did you start drawing?
Oh, I was just a child. I mean, my memory is I always have drawn. And I think the first painting I ever sold was when I was 12 or 13, and it was a miniature of flowers or something. It was probably pretty bad, but I wish I still had it just so I could look at it.
Well, I mean, the discipline and love for doing it that it must take, because as I mentioned before, these are so detailed. I mean, you've been called a genius as far as working with colored pencil and what you create from using that particular medium. But the attention to detail, and I know that it takes hours and hours and hours and days to complete a piece. So your work is really it's a pleasure to look at. It's fun to try to figure out, and it's just fun to look at these images, look at these figures of women, and let that wash over you. Look at these whimsical animals, and just that just puts a smile on your face. So I know it might be more complicated than that as far as the animals are concerned. I don't know. You tell me.
Yes, actually, it usually is. So if you're referring to those three little oval pieces, the animals are in most of my pieces are usually like actors on a stage. They're people, but I express them as animals. I did three of them. I wish I had time to do more. There are particular animals that I adore and that are very endangered of extinction. And, like the pink poodle with the wolf.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
Oh, little wolf. Mm-hmm. And as you notice, the scale is like ridiculous. I mean, the wolf is small and the giant pink poodle is much bigger than the wolf. And it just has to do with, what we put importance in and the creatures. The pink poodle kind of stands for us and our excesses and not really seeing what we have around us.
Well, I understand what you're saying, because to me, I was like, why is a poodle next to a wolf? But yeah, the wolf, an endangered species, but then you've got somebody that would, a show animal whose fur is pink, and it does represent excess as far as I'm concerned, compared to, what the whole wolf population is dwindling. And so that does make a statement. I understand it now.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I hope everybody will come by and see your exhibit. It opens tomorrow at L. Ross Gallery. They're located off Mendenhall. They're in Sanderlin, 5040 Sanderlin, Suite 103 by Interim Restaurant. And their hours during the coronavirus, they've cut back a little bit. So they're open Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 3, or you can call 767-2200 for an appointment, or you can visit their website at lrossgallery.com. But come see these pieces for yourself up close in person and just marvel at what Margaret has been able to achieve with colored pencil and acrylic paint. It's pretty incredible. And Margaret, your exhibit, Amor Fati, I'm a fan. I can't wait to come to Sanderlin myself at L. Ross and see it in person. But I want to thank you this afternoon for talking to us about it. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Khaki. I had fun too. Thank you.